with the latest news now.
Stricter rules are to be introduced for UK banks over closing customers' accounts. Banking firms will be forced to explain and delay any decision to close an account under new rules designed to protect freedom of expression. Meanwhile, Virgin Money is to shut almost a third of its bank branches, with 255 workers facing potential redundancy. It's been another day of industrial action, with hospital consultants across England and RMT members at a number of train operating companies walking out. Mick Lynch, the General Secretary of the RMT, explains why his members are on strike.
We haven't had a pay rise for 4 years, and the people that remain, they want to cut our conditions and issue new contracts of employment. There's not an agreement in sight at the moment, but we remain available for negotiation with the companies and with the government.
The death of a woman in her 60s at a hospital in Cornwall has been treated as murder. Officers were called at around 4:45 yesterday afternoon to the Royal Cornwall Hospital in Truro, where the patient died after coming to harm there. Devon and Cornwall police say a man in his 30s, believed to have been known to the woman, has since been arrested on suspicion of murder. Household budgets could finally be seeing some cheer, with inflation slowing quicker than expected from 8.7% in May to 7.9% in June. Marcus Brooks from Quilters addressed the issue of possibly halving inflation.
So as to whether or not the Chancellor was successful in halving inflation, as he stated he wanted to by the end of 2023, that would mean getting inflation down to 5.4%. I think he's got a reasonable chance of getting there, actually, depending on the pathway now of interest rates.
Hundreds of travellers returning to the UK from Turkey since the start of the year have been struck by salmonella. A travel update from the UK Health Security Agency has warned that 241 people have suffered the bacterial form of food poisoning, though it's understood no single source of infection in Turkey has been found. And Marks & Spencer have been refused permission to knock down and redevelop its flagship store on London's Oxford Street. The boss of M&S, Stuart Machin, says the decision is utterly pathetic. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Jules Eastbridge.
Radio Work. With countless events on the horizon, Las Vegas is now the world's capital for sports and entertainment. Steve Hill, CEO of the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, explains.
There's no place in the world like Las Vegas. You can come for dining and entertainment, for gaming and shopping, and now sports of all kinds. We have Formula One coming in November. We have the Super Bowl in February. Those are going to be world-class events. Go to LasVegas.com to find out more.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
Another night of showers for much of the UK, blown in from the west. In more northern parts, these could be rather heavy at times. Temperatures dropping no lower than 10 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village. Offering a range of classes for health, fitness and recreational activities. All delivered from exceptional community spaces by experienced friendly staff. See ymcanewarkshower.org for details.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
In this world, it's just us. You know.
Good evening and welcome to Radio Newark Sports Show. This is Gorey. Just wanted to say a big thank you to Newark Wheelchair Basketball Club for their hosting me on the Wednesday night at their training session and for popping in on Thursday and having a chat with us. It was a great night. Thank you so much. Moving on to this evening, we have got Matt Cove with us from Newark Rugby Club. Looking forward to talking to Matt and how it all started for him and when he finished and what the future now holds. So looking forward to speaking to Matt in a few minutes. Welcome back to Radio Newark Sports Show with Gorey. Yes, as mentioned before, we've got Matt Cove with us from Newark Rugby Club. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good, Gorey. Good to be here, mate. Good to enjoy being on the radio for a change.
Great stuff. Great. And it's live, by the way.
So very good. Excellent.
Yeah, thank you for popping in. Newark Rugby Club, it's been around a long time. Give us a bit of a background into it, Matt, can you?
Yeah, well, Newark Rugby Club was originally born out the back of the Magna School, actually. So I think some 105 years. So we celebrated our senior in 2019. And ever since then, we've gone from strength to strength. So it's just getting bigger and bigger every day. So we've got circa 1,000 members and a huge Minion youth section, which is, you know, one to be very, very proud of.
Well, that's amazing. Have you always been on where the rugby club is now? Has it always been there? Apart from, you started obviously at the Magnus, but...
No, we moved over to our own facility. I believe it was something like 1952 or something like that, where we moved over. So somebody will correct me on that, I've got no doubt. But it was around then when we moved over to our own facility. Until then, we played up at the Magnus School.
Oh, well. No, that's amazing. So you've just talked about... I mean, I go past there sometimes on a Sunday morning, and there's thousands of people.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It really is. You know, we've got a Minion youth section of around 450 kids, so I'm sure you can appreciate on a busy Sunday morning, you've got all the kids, you've got all the parents, the grandparents, and it's just a phenomenal day, you know, well in excess of 1,000 people there on a Sunday morning, and, you know, it's just fantastic to see.
I mean, it's... How does anybody sort of know whether they're going to do rugby or football? What's the decision making? Because I know the Matt Cove as a rugby player, but you weren't always a rugby player, were you, Matt?
No, and some would probably argue that I'm still not a rugby player, but no, or ever have been. Now, I was always, I always played a lot of football as I was growing up. You know, I played a lot of sort of senior rugby in my early, late teens, early 20s for sort of Coddington, Newark Town, and you know, I absolutely love football. You know, big avid Forest fan. You know, followed it all over the place. Absolutely loved it. But I think there comes a time when you just realise that you're never going to be a pro footballer. So I thought I'll give rugby a go. So I started rugby properly. You know, so we came out of the Magnus School. So obviously played rugby at the Magnus, which was fantastic. And thereafter, you know, as a 16-year-old, joined the club. And started playing some serious rugby. So, you know, ever since then, it's just gone on and on. And now I'm coming up to 47 years of age and occasionally still don the boots.
As were your first team?
Yeah, but I made my first team debut 1993 as a 17-year-old.
Wow.
And I think my last game for the first team was 2019. So it's over a fair period of time and... The body certainly feels that way.
So I spent a couple of weeks training, thinking I was going to get a bit of fitness back. I couldn't really do the football, so I thought I'll see if I can. And it wasn't really for me when I saw some of the size of those boys, if I'm honest with you. So I kind of understand the physicality of it a little bit. I wanted to come and sort of get involved and just really get a feel for it, but I haven't managed to do that yet. But... Newark's always had a good rugby side. It's always been competitive, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We've always been one of the strongest sides in the sort of East Midlands area. Certainly as an amateur club. You know, we've never been a professional club. So as an amateur club, we're now playing at level six, which in the hierarchy of things is a pretty decent standard. And, you know, all the juniors... just aspire to play for the first team now, and that's a great thing, and they're looking up to it. And, you know, it's a real good feeling when you go down the club. You know, we've got a fantastic facility down there. You know, one of the best clubhouses in the Midlands by a long way. And we've got some unbelievable pitches that, you know, David Rhodes looks after on our behalf, and he's just a phenomenal asset to the club. Again, another volunteer that is just invaluable in what we do.
That is amazing, and you do need volunteers, but and we'll come back to that because I think that's a really big point. So what's your involvement now, Matt, in the club, apart from now and again donning the boots?
It's, you know, I have to say it's like having another full-time job. So I'm on the board of directors and I look after a lot of the commercial side of the business, and it is a business. You know, we're set up as a limited business, and you know, we
we have to turn over a significant amount of money just to keep us ticking over. So primarily that's what I'm involved in. We've got a board of 10 directors who all put, you know, a lot of time into the club. That's the nuts and bolts of it. The enjoyable bit is I'm still involved in the coaching, and now my boys are both playing rugby down the club. I've got Freddie who's 10 years old and Bertie who's 8. So it's fantastic coaching them boys down there. I absolutely love it. And, you know, to see, you know, all the kids down there, boys, girls, you know, just developing as they do, it's just a phenomenal feeling.
I love the coaching, especially when Will was, I think that adds a little bit to it. I mean, I love training, you know, the rest of the team, but when you're
completely different, it's a completely different experience. But, you know, it's great to be, you know, super proud of seeing them develop, and, you know, not just your own kids, but, you know, other people's kids, and how they work really hard, you know, to impress you as a coach and to impress, you know, all the parents. So it's fantastic. Love it.
How many teams have we got as the seniors?
Currently, we run three senior sides. It's been tough, actually, up until the last couple of years, to get three sides out. Obviously, since we lost the Magnus as being the main feeder into the club, numbers have dwindled a bit. But with the success of the club over the last couple of years, it's been fantastic. And, you know, we've had a very strong first, very strong second team, and a very consistent 13 put out week in, week out. So that's fantastic. As well as that, and I'm sure we'll come on to it again later, but we've just got a newly established women's team as well, which is something we've really aspired to do over the last, you know, 3-4 years. But it's a tough one to start something from afresh. But now we've done it, and it's a big task to now keep it going and make sure that we develop the women and girls section as well as we have done the men and boys.
No, that's brilliant. What we'll do is we'll come back to that, because I think that's a bigger subject. What I was going to ask you was, the club itself is one of the best in the East Midlands. Who do you play? Who are the competition?
Currently, we're playing in a Midlands league, so we're playing sides over towards. So we've got Wolverhampton, we're playing Sutton Coldfield, okay. We're playing League, Stoke-on-Trent Way, and then we've obviously got the local derbies. You know, up until recently, we used to play Southall, but you know we got promoted a couple of years ago, and that's not happened. But Paviers are also, you know, back in our league now, so that's very strong. West Bridgeford are a good strong side as well. So, Again, there are some local teams, but we do have to travel a couple of hours to get to, you know, some of the other games. But again, it's part and parcel of the fun, the bus trips, you know, and we'll say no more.
Absolutely. What we'll do is we're going to have a short break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the women's, the youth side of it, and also the success that some of the Newark guys over the years have had making it into international rugby, such as whatever. Chat about that. We'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
The YMCA nursery at the Village is now open, and your children are going to love it.
It's a wonderful space, inside and out, with toys and games to inspire curiosity and creative play.
Our chef prepares fresh, seasonal meals every day.
And the space is calming and natural. Children just love being here.
We cater for children from babies to 5 years old. And as we say, it takes a village to raise a child. For more details, see us online at YMCA.com. Newark and Sherwood.org/nursery, or call in for a chat at the YMCA in Newark. The YMCA Nursery at the Village, here for you.
Timber! Yeah, and lots of it too. In fact, at Smith's Timber Merchants, we sell the right types of timber necessary to get the job done properly. Mouldings, plywood, fencing, decking, gates and doors, plus all the accessories you'll need, like screws, bolts, latches and hinges. In short, you could say we nail it every time. And if you want good advice, well, you've come to the right people. Find us on Appleton Gate, Newark. Smith's Timber Merchants. Phone 702 573 or visit smithstimber.co.uk. Radio.
I'll take all of the blame. I wasn't thinking I won't put you through all that again. If you take me back, then I'ma take you through the facts. Just hold on tight, cause I'm the type to make you ride and take you all the way. Oh, let me give you all of me. Can we just start it out for real?
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. I've got Matt Cove with me this evening and heavily involved with Newark Rugby Club. So we're just having a chat about the history of the club, and it's 105 years old, which is amazing in itself. One of the things I really wanted to talk about, and I've had a little bit of experience with this when I was in Germany and a rugby team from the Navy came over. The camaraderie and the fun that the boys have, the rugby boys, I think it's second to none. Could you agree with that, Matt?
I definitely agree with that, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, mate. You know, I've made so many, you know, great friends along the way. You know, friends that, you know, I met when I was 11 years old. And, you know, them same friends still with me in Caesar's Palace last Saturday night. And, you know, we absolutely love it, you know. And the great thing about rugby is, it when it's one out, it's all out, you know. So you go out in a group of 20 lads, you know, and everyone's got each other's backs. You never get any trouble. It's just beer, and you know, it's a fantastic, you know, way to spend your weekends, and particularly as a young lad. Obviously, when you get married, it soon changes a bit, but no, it really is just phenomenal. It's phenomenal, you know, the number of friends that you make. And you know, I see my boys now going back to them making friends that they wouldn't have done ordinarily outside of school. And I know that they're friends for life now. So it's just phenomenal to see.
I think if you look at local rugby, you look at international rugby, they smash each other to pieces for 80 minutes. But the thing that always stands out for me is give you a big hug at the end. Let's go and have a pint. And not worry about the fact that I try to beat you up on the pitch.
It's sort of respect, you know. You know, rugby commands respect. You know, the way that we talk to the referees, the way that we approach the referees, yes sir, no sir. You know, there's no screaming like you do at football. It's absolutely, you know, the right way to go about it. It's exactly the way that we should be teaching our kids to approach any officials. So the fact that you're not lumps out to each other, so be it. You know, it's all part of the fun.
That's brilliant. It's the respect thing, I think. You just mentioned it. The respect for referees. Even grown men who are 6'8" looking down at a 4'8" referee. They're not going to pick them up and hit them, are they?
Absolutely. No, it's one of those things, really. It's just synonymous with rugby, you know. And I know there are other sports out there that are very, very good. But, you know, when you have got somebody that's 6'10" and 22 stone and you're saying, yes, sir, of course, I'll do exactly what you say. You know, that's just part and parcel of the game.
That's brilliant.
We love it.
I mean, it's Newark, I think, sometimes is a hidden secret for a lot of people. So we have had some international success. We've had some. So if you look at the football, we had Willie Hall, and we've had a few good players have made it pro in. But if you look at the rugby, look at the one that I know, and you're going to tell us about a couple of others, but Dusty Hare always springs to mind. England, watched him on the telly. Amazing.
Yeah, Dusty's obviously the club legend, and when you come to our clubhouse, you'll see a shrine to him. You know, Dusty's been there or thereabouts for many years, and, you know, everyone's got a lot of respect for the guy. But, you know, what we have to understand is we've probably got another 20, 25 players that have played international level at some form, whether that's schools, whether that's counties, whether that's universities. You know, and just to name a few, you know, we had Tom Ryder, who played, you know, Saracens. He played England age group and played Scotland first team. You know, we had, who else have we had? We've got the Oliver Fowler twins, you know, Ryan and Jordan. You know, Ryan's just finished playing with England sevens, you know, which is a fantastic achievement. And Jordan was England World Player of the Year at the Under-20s World Cup a few years ago, so... You know, that's pretty significant as an achievement.
You mentioned that we talk about England, don't we? Because we associate Newark with England. But we've got Greg Tonks here, who played for...
Yeah, Greg also, you know, Greg played for Scotland. And, you know, he moved from Newark and played his rugby at Northampton and then went up to Scotland, to Edinburgh. And he was fantastic, you know. So it just goes to show, you know, what we can achieve as a club. And I think just two more really that we should be mentioning, in particular what we're going to come and talk about later, is both Jess and Lucy Weaver, who have played age grade England in the girls section, which is again phenomenal considering it's such a young sport in relation to the boys side of it. So, you know, that them two have achieved fantastic amounts, and if you come to the club, you'll see everybody's shirt on the wall, which is a phenomenal thing to see. When you've got 20, 25 people on the wall.
Oh, that's amazing. You know. Right, we're just going to have a little break. We'll come back to, I think the juniors and the women's we need to talk a bit more about that.
Yeah,
I think that's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So we're just going to have a quick song and then we'll be back to have another chat.
My lover, I'm in paradise whenever I'm with you. My mind, well, it's a paradise whenever I'm with you. Ride on, well, I will ride on down the road. I will find you, I will hold you, I'll be there. It's long, well, it's a mighty long road, but I'll find you, I will hold you, and I'll be there.
I know you heard it from those other boys, but this time it's real. It's something that I feel it. Other boys, but this time it's real. It's something that I feel it. If it feels like paradise running through your bloody veins, you know it's love anyway. If it feels like paradise running through your bloody veins, you know it's love anyway.
My time, well, it's a never ending helter skelter. We'll be out whatever the weather. My heart, my boom, boom, heart, it's a beat, and it's a thumping, and I'm alive.
I know you've heard it from those other boys, but this time between, it's something that I feel it. I know you've heard it from those other boys.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. We've got Matt Cove with me tonight. Really enjoying this chat. Just missing a couple of pints here, Matt, really.
Oh, no, mate. I'll be venturing up to the plough as soon as we finish.
We've just had a quick chat about international success from the Newark area. I just wanted to ask you, my claim to fame is that Will knows Ollie and Lewis Chesham. Did they go through the club?
I think Ollie did earlier on in his junior game, and then he moved over to Kesteven Rugby. So, but again, the two absolute mountains of men. You know, it's they're quite regular visitors to the club. They come down and watch the first team on occasions that they're not busy themselves with Leicester Tigers. But and you've probably seen that Lewis has obviously been in the Under 20s World Cup recently. So he captained the Under 20s team, which is fantastic.
It's massive.
So, but, you know, irrelevant whether they're from Newark or not, you know, they're both local lads, you know, both Sleaford lads, you know, both were at school up there, and you know, it's great that the whole region's really thriving. And the other guy that I should have mentioned earlier, because he's absolutely spot on, a great guy as well, is Joe Hayes, Big Joe. Joe's current tight head for England. I don't know, I forgot him, but he'll probably give me a clip round the ear, old young 20-odd-year-old lad. But no, he's a fantastic lad, and, you know, they're always down, you know, Joe's always down the club doing little coaching sessions, you know, some scrummaging sessions with the boys and everything. So it's fantastic that them guys come and give something back to the club. It really is.
That's great that they come back and do that.
Absolutely, mate.
That's brilliant. So let's talk about the women's and the junior section. It's a big, big thing for you, mate, I know. Juniors, let's start with juniors first. So we talk about there's thousands of kids when I go past on a Sunday. How did that all sort of kick off?
Good question. I think it's just, you know, Newark's been very lucky in that they've got such fantastic facilities. And what that does is it attracts people, you know, it attracts players. And we're also a great community club. So, you know, a lot of the, you know, local guys want to come to Newark Rugby Club. And it's just grown and grown and grown off the back of, you know, off the back of the schools, and, you know, kids from the ages of 6, you know, all the way through to 18. But I think the great thing about rugby is once you've been once or twice, if you get it, that's it. You're there for life.
Yeah.
And you don't get people jumping clubs very often. It's a you know, one club for all your life, and that's the way that the majority of people work. Unless you go up and play at a better standard, you know, typically that's where you belong.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been an advocate of play the best level you can.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes for football, it goes for rugby. Yeah. That's my opinion. I mean, it doesn't suit everybody else, but, you know, if you see these, you're watching these guys going and going up and going up and into the game, it must be a proud thing.
Absolutely, and as a club, we actively encourage it. You know, there's nothing prouder as a club as to walk in and seeing somebody's England shirt on the wall, or Leicester Tigers shirt, or, you know, whoever it may be. You know, it's just fantastic, and we actively encourage people to play the best standard they can.
Yeah.
You know, but we also actively encourage people just to play rugby. You know,
I mean, and
that's the key thing, because that's where you get the numbers from.
Yeah.
So just come and enjoy it.
Well, is it all local, just Newark schools, or are you getting people from outside the area?
Yeah, well, we do get people from outside the area. Obviously, it's within the vicinity. So, yes, we get people from, you know, from over at King's School and Carr School. And we do get a few guys in from Nottingham and Lincoln. You know, we've also got a nice little setup with the RAF now, which is good, which has been part of our history, really, our link up with the RAF. So that's now coming about again, and we're developing that relationship. So, you know, it's just about having, you know, having a big wide net and welcoming anybody into the club that wants to come and join us. Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask, obviously, health and safety, injuries, etc., with the kids is quite an important thing. How do you encourage parents to bring kids along? Obviously, rugby's synonymous with getting hurt, getting stuck in. How do you encourage the parents to let the kids come, for instance?
I think first things first, you know, I both my boys are there rugby, and they both love it. And yes, they get a bang, but typically, you know, they still get up and come back again. Now,
the RFU and World Rugby have done a lot over the last 5 years, really, with regard to health and safety and concussion protocols and the like. And there's been much more stringent controls around what happens when you do get a knock to the head. So, you know, from a parent's perspective, it's, well, okay, you know, not just get back on your feet, crack on with it. It's a case of, are you okay? Sit out. There's a full protocol that you have to go through. All the coaches are trained in that, in the head case protocol, and we do what's right by the kids and what's, you know, what's the right thing to do. So if that means they have to sit out for 3 weeks or 14 days, then that's what it has to be, you know, and it's our duty now to make sure that that's right. As well as that, the last 12 months has been massive around the tackle in terms of high tackles, and that's mainly around the impact of things like whiplash. In the big impact tackles and the constant knocks that you're getting. So the RFU this year have worked with World Rugby, and what they've done is they've worked to drop the tackle height. So to try and eradicate any contact with the head. So what they've done basically is they've put the tackle to, you know, sternum and below. You know, so in effect, they want to actively encourage sort of waist tackling and below the waist tackling, rather than, you know, anything that's chest and above. So it's absolutely the right thing to do. Yes, it will mean changing in the game. You'll see, you know, a transition period, but it will absolutely protect our game for the future, and it will make sure that we've got the kids coming in and the parents are then confident that it's the right game for the kids to be playing.
Has that just come in? Is that something that's...
It's developed over the last few years, but the tackle height, dropping the tackle height, you know, it sort of dropped from neck to chest, from chest to armpits, from armpits to waist. So it's just a case of really managing that protocol and you know, working with the kids to develop the tackle to make sure that they're tackling safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. What I was going to do, I was going to try and talk about the women, but we'll do that in a second. We're going to have another break. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about the women's side of it. So.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Everybody needs more space, or ideally an extra room. Whether you want a new shed, a summer house, a garden office, or a bespoke outside building, you need the Shed Brothers. Our business is built on quality and honesty. We provide the full service, from a free survey to design and installation. And we're family run. We're the Shed Brothers. We're brothers, and we make sheds and all sorts of timber buildings. Check out the Shed Brothers on social media or online at theshedbrothers.co.uk.
Measles and whooping cough are on the rise. Vaccinations can help prevent them. Are your child's up to date? Find out more. Search NHS vaccinations.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport Hour with Gorey. Got Matt Cove here with me. Having some great chats, actually, about the levels of rugby that Newark are playing at the moment and who's involved. And I know Matt was keen to talk about something that's evolved over the last year, maybe, well, whatever, yeah, a couple of years.
Since Christmas, to be honest with you, Mark.
Oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the women's side of the game now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the women's side of the game has just grown exponentially over the last, you know, 5-6 years, and, you know, real success at international level, and it's just, you know, it's great to see. So what tends to happen is through the mini age groups, the boys and girls play alongside each other, and then when they get to the age of sort of 12-13, then they have to split. Now, there was never really a process in terms of taking the girls section through thereafter, but now we've got a really well established 14-16 and 18 age group. Which really, you know, does bode well for the future. So I think there's around, I think 70 to 80 girls now in that section, wow, which is phenomenal, you know. But more importantly, you know, out of that, we aspire to have a women's team, you know. And the women's team now is, all of a sudden, you know, one or two girls just wanted a chat. Oh, we need a women's team, we need a women's team. And the next thing you know, they start bringing around the mates and they come down to training on a Thursday for a pint with the lads, and it's great. Next thing you know, there's 18, 19 registered girls now, which is registered women, sorry, and that is, you know, a real impetus to create something now down at the club. You know, the hard work begins now, really. You know, with those guys, you know, because trying to teach people rugby, you know, at some 30 plus years old, it's not as easy as teaching a 6-7 year old how to play rugby. But I have to say, they're super keen and really enthusiastic, and the commitment is second to none. So, you know, we're really excited about it, and you know, we'd love to see more women down the club. And you know, next year will be the first fixtures that we've held as a club in the women's section, and you're looking forward to seeing it.
So they're going into a women's league next year.
Yeah, well, it's not. I think post Christmas, there's some friendly fixtures that they're going to go into, and it's sort of a round robin with other sort of local clubs. But you know, having competitive fixtures is just going to be, you know, fantastic. The great thing is, as well, is, you know, they massively integrate into the club. This is not just about we've got to have a women's section. This is about they want to be there. They want to be with, you know, involving in the club. Training on the Wednesdays and the Thursdays, and having a beer with the lads. You know, it's going back to the camaraderie thing, Mark, to be honest with you. You know, they just become, you know, I was going to say one of the lads, but I think you know what I'm saying. they just want to come down and just be part and parcel of what Newark Rugby Club's about.
It's a community, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
It's amazing. So have you got lots of young girls coming through as well with the youth section?
Yeah, well, as I was saying, we've got an under-14s, under-16s and under-18s age groups. So typically we've got probably 20 to 25 across each age group.
Wow, okay.
And it's quite tricky because you've not got it every year. So some years an age group might have a few less. But, you know, overall it's a very strong, section now. And we've got some fantastic coaches across all, you know, all age groups there, so it can only bode well, you know, for the future. And we're just about to appoint a new director of women's rugby as well, so that'd be fantastic for us, and it'll really give us the impetus to take that forward.
Oh, that's amazing. What's the age range of the women's side of it? Well, you mentioned over 30s. Have you got some?
Well, it's again, we have. The girls start with us when they're 6-7 years old, and okay. So we've got it all the way through the youth, and then as soon as they go from 18, they'll either jump straight into the senior ladies side, senior women's side, or they will some go to university. But the idea is when they come back, they come and play for the women's side. So it's an age, you know, it's a complete age range from 18 to, you know, probably to 40. To be honest,
that's
in fact, there might be one or two. A little bit older than that, but I need to be careful.
I think when you put something together like the rugby club's done in with the youth, with the ladies, and you've got the coaching staff, you need a lot of them, I'm presuming. How does that all work? How do you get the coaches? Where do they come from?
A lot of the coaching comes out the back of play, to be honest with you. A lot of ex-players will hold the hand up, and particularly, you know, through the mini and youth section, you know, typically you get parents who have played rugby, hold the hand up and say, right, I want to take this age group forward, as I did. And then we actively encourage them to go down the coaching route, as you would do with the FA, and right. So the RFU have their own coaching badges. So that's all fantastic. Everyone that comes through, there's all DBS checked, all safeguarding is absolutely huge in terms of, you know, what we focus on, and you know, each section's probably got two or three decent coaches within it.
Right.
You know, some of the sections have got five or six decent coaches in it. You know, so it's really phenomenal to see that people just volunteer and just want to, you know, come on and just want to be involved. And again, going back to the community and the camaraderie, people want to stay involved in the game.
I mean, this is, we're going to talk about that in a minute when we talk about the volunteers, because this is what it is all about. Because you're not a professional club, you're not paying people, and to make it work, you do need all of that, don't you? So, I think what we're going to have to do, we're going to have another little break, then we're going to finish off. I know there's a couple of things that you want to talk about, and yeah, we'll finish that off in a short while.
Cheers, Colin.
We love Long Call. Radio.
Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tired of overpaying for storage? Moving house and need a short-term storage solution? Or just lack of space in the garage? Why not try Hardy's Storage, located at Hardy's Farm Shop, Farndon. Hardy's offer one of Newark's lowest cost and uncomplicated storage solutions. Flexible contracts, several sizes available, secure premises, access 7 days a week. Contact us now on 01636 681 201 or visit hardysfarndon.co.uk.
Radio Newark.
Welcome back to Radio Newark with Gorey and Matt Coe from Newark Rugby Club. Talked about all of the coaching and all of the different age groups we've got. So, and sort of volunteers is like a big word, really. It's what you're going to need. Let's talk about volunteers, Matt. Who do we need? You've got to praise those that turn up now, haven't we? So
yeah, obviously as a club, you know, we run as a business, but we are, you know, we're a board of directors. I suppose people often think it starts at the top, but I think with a rugby club, it actually starts at the bottom. It starts with the people that do the day-to-day stuff. And, you know, from coaching to helping out the Newark show to, you know, clearing up the changing rooms to, you know, making sure that the pitches and the facilities are absolutely fantastic all the time. It takes a lot of work. It takes a real lot of work. And, you know, from the parents and from some of the old boys from the rugby club, you can't thank somebody enough, really, for all the work they do. We've just actually, a couple of weeks ago, held our very first official volunteers ceremony. And we had an award ceremony, and it was just fabulous to see. You know, we had 120 people, of which we could have probably doubled, you know, the number overall. And we had a formal award ceremony, and I think everybody really, really appreciated the fact that they're actually formally being recognised for all the work they do for the club.
No club really gets away with it. Even in some of the pro clubs, you know, you do need the odd volunteer.
Of course, yeah.
For me, if you've got that structure in place, where's the first team and the second team going this year then, Matt? What's the aspirations? What do they want to achieve?
Good question. Well, I think first thing to say, pre-season's is well underway now, you know, so, you know, starting beginning of July. You know, the guys and girls are both working really hard, getting themselves fit for the new season, which typically starts around September. So we've got a couple of pre-season games against the RAF teams, which are coming up, which you'll be able to find out details on the website for. But where do they want to be this year? Well, the first team had a fantastic year last year. Didn't start off particularly well, but actually, you know, we finished with an absolute, you know, run of games and really pushed ourselves up there as one of the teams to beat. So I think this year, I don't think anybody will, you know, would shout at me for saying that. I think actually that, you know, they want to be right up there. They want to be up there competing, you know, with the top teams. And who knows, you know, if we can end up in the top four, great. If we can do better, even better, you know. The aspiration of the club is very much, let's be the best we can, you know, let's do the best we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we can do, all we can do as a club is put, you know, give them the best opportunity and the best coaching to do. So, you know, that's what we do. In terms of the second team, you know, the fantastic thing that happened with the second team last year was the RFU restructured, and the great thing is they allowed some of the second teams to enter into the league structure. So our second team entered at level 9 last year, which is still a really good level. And they walked the league. They absolutely walked the league. So they'll be playing at level 8 this year. So bearing in mind, the first team are at level 6, the second team are at level 8. So it's a bit of an unknown for them, You know, the second team captain, Ben Wells, and Richard Byram, who most people will know from around Newark and from the Magnus, they've done a fantastic job with the twos this year. And, you know, the whole atmosphere, you know, we are one squad. You know, the first and the second team, you know, are one squad. And that's the big bit that's come out at the back of this new league structure. So, you know, second team is a bit unknown. We don't know, but we still want to be up there competing at a very good level. And then, you know, first team, you know, the aspiration is to really push this year.
If you've, Newark's well known, so I'm presuming you get a lot of people come scouting, do you? From some of the bigger clubs or not? Does it not work like football?
The way it works in rugby is they have regional development sides. So for argument, Leicester Tigers are our region. So we're linked to them as a club.
Right, okay. So
they have development days down the club, and they have development squads, of which some of our players are selected for. So it sort of works like that. It's like playing for your county, I suppose. You know, you sort of go to play for your county, and then you go on into the formal academies thereafter. So they pick the kids up, I think, from sort of 14 years of age,
right.
and then push them through, and some get to stay on, and some get released back to the club. So it's a reasonable setup. So it just obviously takes some of the better players away at some point, you know. But hopefully, if you treat them well, they'll come back.
So your website is where all the details are for any young budding rugby players to come and start training with you?
Yeah, that's newatrugby.com.
Okay.
So, if anyone's interested, there's always there's contact pages on there of each age group. So if you just go online, you'll be able to find there, you know, just register your interest and somebody will come back to you.
Fantastic. We didn't touch on it. And I think we should finish on it, because I think it was a really positive note. Jess and the other international...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the girls have just been, you know, phenomenal. And the great thing is, you know, they come back to the club and, you know, they want to be part of it, you know. And it was only a few weeks ago where Lucy came to me and she said, "Oh, look, my sister's England shirt's on the wall. When can I put my England shirt on the wall?" I said, "Well, you hand it to me and I'll do it for you, you know."
That's brilliant.
So, and she was so super proud of what she'd achieved, and we were super proud of what she'd achieved. So, you know, it's great. It's really good to have, you know, those people for our young girls to look up to.
That's amazing. Matt, it's been brilliant. Really, really enjoyed talking about it. There's lots of stuff I didn't know. I mean, obviously, with the football side of it. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make this hour a bit eclectic, have different kind of sports. So, Matt, thank you so much for popping by.
Thanks for having us, Gory.
Not a problem at all. So, you've got Dean coming up in a few seconds with his soul show. Massive thanks to Matt for popping by. And we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Rogers.
on FM, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. With the latest news now.
UK banks will be subject to stricter rules over closing customers' accounts under